I invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Calling sinners to repentance. I want you to imagine for just a moment a beautiful piece of pottery. This piece of pottery, it's cracked. It's worn with age. But this piece of pottery is in the hands of a skilled potter. This old vessel is being reshaped. It's not only being reshaped, but it's being refined and it's being made new again. This is the power of God's transformation. He takes brokenness and makes a new creation. That is what he did in Matthew, and that's what he does with you. He is the powerful in transforming God. He is powerful and he transforms lives. That transformation is the call of sinners to repentance and the offer of new life. Just picture yourself for the next few minutes as that piece of pottery. You've got some cracks. You've got some imperfections. You're worn with age. But you are in the hands of a skilled potter. That's where Matthew found himself in this text. Matthew, a reject. A misfit, an outcast, was just doing his job. But Jesus stopped. And he said, follow me. And this reject, this misfit, this outcast found himself in the hands of a skilled potter. This man who was worn with age. This man who had his cracks and his imperfections is suddenly in the hands of a skilled potter. Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 39. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi, sitting at the tax collector's station. He said to him, follow me. And he left everything, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a group of many tax collectors and others who sat with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, those who are well do not need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and offer prayers? And likewise, the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours, they eat and drink. He said to them, can you make the attendants of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then in those days they will fast. He told them a parable. No one sews a piece of new material on an old one. Otherwise, the new would tear, for the new piece does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the wineskins, and it will be spilled, and the wineskins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. As we go to the Lord in prayer, I want you to stop and consider this call, the call of Levi, a man broken, a man outcast, a man rejected by his own people, snubbed by his own people. How are you and me any different than this man, Levi? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace. We thank you that it is your goodness that calls us to repentance. Lord, even on our best days, we fail you over and over and over again. And yet you keep picking us back up. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being in the hands of the skilled potter. We thank you for your time, for your attention in shaping us and making us into that which you want us to be. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. First thing we see here in these verses is the call of Levi, verses 27 and 28. As I've already said, Levi was a reject. He was marginalized. Tax collectors, they were despised. They were seen as traitors working for Rome. Think about it. At this time, Israel is not self-governed. They don't have their own king. They are under the rule and reign of Caesar. It's not a descendant of David that's taxing the people. It's Caesar, this outside force. And this man, Levi, an Israelite, is working for the enemy. He's a traitor to his own people. And Jesus stops at his table. Jesus stops where Levi is working, where Levi is working to provide for his household. And he issues a call, follow me. A call that was heard by the fishermen also as they were fixing their nets, follow me. And this man, Levi, hears that same call. You stop and think about it. Fishermen, as we previously looked at, they were the lowest of society. They were doing the necessary function, but their task wasn't revered. Not only is Levi's task not revered, it's reviled. And he's a reviler. Jesus, with those simple words, follow me, he shows purpose. He shows acceptance. Levi, your own people reject you. Levi, your own people see you as marginalized. Levi, your own people see you as a traitor. But I've purposely stopped here at this table, Levi, to tell you that you are accepted. Jesus shows redemption and grace. The Israelites, Levi, you're a traitor. You're unredeemable, Levi. But Jesus says, no, you're not unredeemable. I'm going to give you redemption. You're not beyond grace, Levi. I'm extending grace to you. And what does Levi do? Does Levi say, okay, I'll pray about it? No, what does Levi do? Does he say, you give me a day or two. Let me finish up this day's work. But what does Levi do? Does he say, let me do the right thing, Jesus? Let me give my 2 weeks' notice. That would be the right thing to do. But what does Levi do? He leaves everything. Levi leaves everything. The indication is the monies are all on the table. The tax bills are all on the table. Levi leaves everything. This is a total life change for Levi. You and I are sinners in need of redemption. You and I are sinners in need of grace. And that starts with confession and repentance. Jesus saying, follow me. And Levi's immediate response is a sign of confession. He's saying, Jesus, you see exactly where I'm sitting. Jesus, you see exactly what I'm doing. I can't hide it from you. These people know what I'm doing. I can't hide it from them. I've tried hiding it from myself. I've tried justifying it because I'm just providing for my family. But you know what? I'm not going to be a traitor any longer. He confesses and he repents. If you are saved, then you have a job to do. Think about Ephesians 2:10. We love to recite 2, 8, and 9, don't we? Where it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. But what about 2:10? What about Ephesians 2:10? For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That means you weren't just saved to sit in a pew or in a chair. You weren't saved just to show up on Sunday mornings. You were saved because God has a job for you. Your task is to build relationships. Your task is to love on those around you, especially the forgotten. Your task is to build relationships and to love on those around you, especially the forgotten. And guess what? There's folks all around you. Pray a simple prayer today. Lord, open my eyes this week to see those that are forgotten by this world. And be amazed at who you notice. Next thing I want you to see in verses 29 and 30 is the feast. The feast with sinners. The feast with sinners. Levi invited not only Jesus, but he invites his old friends to supper. Now, these scribes and these Pharisees that are taunting Jesus, I'm sure they would assume that if Levi really wanted to change, that he would abandon his old friends. If you really want to change, you got to make new friends. What does Levi do? He invites Jesus and his old friends to supper together. Levi shows hospitality. What is hospitality? Hospitality is reaching out to those that others call unworthy. Levi knew who was called unworthy because Levi himself had been called unworthy. And so he reached out to those who had been like him. Hospitality is showing grace like Jesus did. Jesus stopped at Levi's table and he said, "Come, follow me." Levi shows that same grace like Jesus showed him by going to his old friends, going to his old co-workers, and saying, "Hey, I don't know this, but I can almost picture him repeating those words that the woman at the well had said, 'Come meet a man who told me all things I ever did.'" Could this be? Could this be? Levi's hospitality flowed from his thanksgiving and joy for his new life. Was he just inviting Jesus to supper just for the sake of inviting him? Was he just inviting Jesus to supper because Jesus had invited him to follow him? No. He was genuinely grateful. He had genuine thanksgiving. He had genuine joy. He knew what a new life was because he was experiencing new life. Can you imagine the fear that might have come over Levi in the moment that he heard Jesus say, "Follow me"? What am I going to do to provide for my household? What am I going to do for income? His flesh was certainly fearful, but his spirit obeyed. Hospitality creates welcoming environments. Levi welcomed Jesus. Levi welcomed his old friends to sit down at a table and share a meal together. He created a welcoming environment where sinner and Savior could sit together. Hospitality reaches the unreached. I've already said it, but it's worth saying again. Levi knew who the unreached were because he had been one of the unreached. I remember many years ago when I was at Meadow Hill, the church building got broken into. A bunch of teenagers, they came in and they vandalized. They took a fire extinguisher and they just emptied that fire extinguisher and it was just an absolute mess. And there was one young lady that said that she hoped that the police got him and that the police would execute justice to the fullest extent. The pastor said, "It wasn't that long ago you would have been amongst that very group. Is that what you would have wanted? You and me, every single one of us, needs to recall over and over and over again where we came from. As we remember where we came from, then our eyes are open to those who need Jesus. Where did you come from? That's where you look to see those who need Jesus. Repentance and faith result in change, heart change that is seen. Repentance and faith result in change, heartfelt change that is seen. Reality is, I can't look into any one of your hearts. Only Jesus can do that. But as you begin living your life in Christ, as you begin reading and studying and following His Word, then your actions are going to change. Old things that you used to do, you're going to find just aren't appealing. Old things you used to say, you're just not comfortable saying anymore. Your life is going to be changed and is changed by Jesus. Scoffers and doubters will criticize you, just as these Pharisees questioned Jesus. You're going to have old friends that say, you know what? I remember what you used to do the exact same things that I'm doing right now. You used to be the biggest one out here partying. You used to be first to do this, and you used to lead the way in doing this. You're going to have scoffers. You're going to have doubters. But these religious leaders, they doubted Jesus. They saw who Jesus hung around with, and they made an assumption about Him. Jesus' choice. These Pharisees questioned Jesus' choice because they didn't understand holiness and righteousness. To these Pharisees, holiness and righteousness were purely external. You show your holiness. You show your righteousness. But remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about how they would wash the outside of the cup, but the inside would be full of cursing and bitterness. Yeah, you can show a fake holiness. You can show a fake righteousness. But at the end of the day, the inside of that cup is still going to be full of cursing and bitterness and mold and filth. Holiness is letting go of your old ways. Letting go of your old ways. Doesn't mean that you're not going to fall back into those old ways. Romans 7 makes it very clear. The things that Paul did not want to do were the very things he found himself doing. Holiness doesn't mean that you're never going to do the old things ever again. It just simply means that you don't want to do those old things. Holiness is experiencing what Jesus offers. Jesus offers pardon. Jesus offers redemption. Jesus offers you a new life. If you are saved, then you have a story to tell. I've already referenced the woman at the well, John 4:29. She went back to her village and she said, Come, meet a man who showed me all things I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? You have a story to tell. Your task is to share your personal testimony of a life changed from the forgotten to the forgiven. What's your story? Your story is that you were forgotten. You were the forgotten. But now you are the forgiven. Jesus met you when you were the forgotten. He told you all things you ever did. And now you are the forgiven And you know him not just as a man sitting by the well, but you know him as the very Messiah. Verses 31 and 32, we see the response to criticism. Jesus explained that the mission of the gospel is healing and restoration. The mission of the gospel is healing and restoration. He came to call sinners, not the righteous. Now, in our day, we know that there are preventative checkups, that you go and you get a physical, and you just as a way of prevention. But in that day, if you were sick, you went to a physician. The physician was for the sick, not those who were well. And Jesus is snidely jabbing at these Pharisees, at these religious leaders. You think you're well. I came for those who are sick. And the subtle message that Jesus was giving is, yeah, these folks are sick, but you Pharisees, you're just as sick. You just don't recognize it. The mission field is among the lost and the broken. We don't exist just to be inside these four walls. I love it when I go into some of these, when I've gone into some of these churches that have been around for a while, and at the back door, as you're exiting, it says, enter to worship, exit to serve. Because that's exactly the goal. Inside these four walls, we're worshiping. Outside these four walls, we're serving. Outside these four walls, we're reaching the lost. We're reaching the broken. The local church is a place of healing. This is a place to let go of your past, to reach for the righteousness and holiness that comes from following Jesus. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Paul says, forgetting those things that are left behind, I look forward to that which I attain in Christ Jesus. Is that what you're experiencing in life day after day? Are you continually forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth for that which lies ahead? Are you reaching forth for Jesus' holiness, for Jesus' righteousness? This is a place where old vessels are made new in the potter's hands. As you and me come to worship week after week after week, you and me are old vessels, but we're being made new. How are we being made new? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. You are called to live as new creations in Christ. If you are saved, you are called to show love through action. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17 says that faith without works is dead. Your task is to engage in service projects, participate in outreach programs, and encourage conversation. If you just listen to the words and the conversations around you throughout the week, you'll notice opportunities to share the gospel. You don't have to manufacture those opportunities. If you just listen to what folks are saying to you and around you, you'll have an opportunity to say, you know what? I experienced that same thing. I felt that same way. I used to do that same thing, but now I know somebody who did something for me. Verses 33 through 35, I want you to see the question of fasting. The Pharisees ask, why don't Jesus' disciples fast? And in that question, do you not see a tension? Do you not see a tension here between tradition and transformation? The Pharisees are clinging to their traditions. They're clinging to that which they know, all the while rejecting a genuine transformation in the life of Levi, in the lives of those whom Levi has invited to the supper, his old friends. What are your religious practices? Are your practices getting you closer to Christ? Or are they just rituals? I had a worship professor one time that said, rituals aren't bad. He said, it's when rituals become rituals. When you get in a rut and you're only doing something because that's what you've always done, that's when it becomes bad. Every one of us have a ritual every morning of brushing our teeth. None of us are going to say that's a bad ritual. Jesus used the joy of a bridegroom to show the joy of salvation in relationship with Christ. There's a time for joy and there's a time for fasting. Why do your disciples not fast? The disciples of John, the disciples of the Pharisees, they fast. Why are your disciples not fasting? And Jesus didn't quote Ecclesiastes, but you can almost hear it. There's a time for fasting, and there's a time for feasting. There's a time for sadness, and there's a time for joy. If you are saved, you are called to compassion. 1 John 3:11 through 18 tells us that there's no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend. That's what Jesus did. Jesus laid down his life for you. All around this globe, with the exception of here in the U.S., Christians are laying down their lives for their loved ones. Just attending church somewhere can get some Christians in this world killed. Just possessing a Bible in some parts of the world can get you killed. Sharing the gospel can get you killed. No greater love has a man than that he lay down his life for his friends. Your task is to listen through tough times and focus on common interest. Focus on those natural platforms for discussing life and faith. You and me have it easy in this country. We don't have to face imprisonment. We don't have to face death. But that gives us a platform. Listen during those tough times. Find common ground with the folks that are around you. Just like Levi had common ground with his old friends, his old co-workers that he invited to come feast with Jesus. And in 36 through 39, I want you to see the new and the old. Jesus used illustrations of the garments and the wine to show that the gospel is not confined to old structures. Pharisees, Jesus says, I'm not working with old garments here. Pharisees, Jesus says, I'm not working with old wineskins here. I've got a new garment, and I'm not going to ruin it by putting it on an old garment. I've got new wine. I'm not going to ruin it by putting it into old wineskins. New wine and new wineskins show God's power to transform. New wine and new wineskins shows God's power to transform. Those new wineskins were elastic. So that as you were traveling and as that wine was aging, it would expand and contract with the wine. But if you had old wineskins, then it would expand and burst. Those new wineskins that had elasticity to them, they're like you and me. God put His message in you because as His gospel works in you, it expands you and it shapes you. Jesus fulfilled the old covenant and gave life and freedom to the new. Every one of those ceremonial laws that we see in Leviticus were fulfilled in Christ. Jesus fulfills those ceremonial laws, those dietary laws, so that He could give you life and freedom in the new covenant. If you are saved, then you are called to embrace the newness of life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things become new. What did you used to do before you got saved? They don't exist anymore. Whatever you were known for, whatever you were characterized by, whatever you spent your time and energy and money on in your old life does not exist. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Those old things are behind you. All things are new for you. Your task is to invite friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers to experience the life you now have. Who are you sharing your story with regularly? Who are you sharing your story with regularly? God is in the business of making all things new. Jesus called you a sinner to repentance and transformation. You must leave your old ways and embrace the new life that He offers. Your goal is to reflect Christ's love and grace, reaching out to those who need it most. Are you responding to Jesus' call? Are you reaching out to the marginalized? Are you reaching out to the rejects? Are you extending His grace to those around you? If you are saved, then you are called to be an agent of change. How do you respond to Jesus' call in your life today? Are you in the potter's hands right now? Is He shaping and making you a new creation for His glory? Where are you right now? Are you in that potter's hands as that old, worn out, cracked vessel that He is refining and reshaping and making into a brand new creation? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before You. We thank You for this man, Levi, who simply heard the words, follow Me, and he left everything. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your pardon from sin. We thank you for your redemption to new life. It's in your name we pray. Amen.